thankful to be able to be here today and thankful to see each and every one of you. Do ask an interest in your prayers as I do stand before you. wonderful time to be able to meet Brother Rodney here. And I'm glad to meet you, brother, and heard about you and glad to finally meet you. If you have your Bibles with you and you'd like to turn with me, please turn with me over to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. And I want us to begin with verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass that we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which shew unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Lord, be with me. I want to draw some attention to some things expositorily here in Acts chapter 16. But beginning with this section here, I want us to think about this, of what has just happened. Here, Lydia, a seller of purple. Here she has been baptized, her and her household, the Lord's blessed richly. I don't know if you remember it or not, or sometimes you can, but don't you remember that the time in which God blessed you to understand the doctrines of salvation by grace and blessed you to be able to understand the truths that we hold dear in the Old Baptist Church? And you came forward and asked for a home in the church and came forward and was blessed to be baptized and walk in obedience in that. And what a blessing that was. But don't you remember the fiery trials that await you just shortly after that? You think about that and how many times in which that there were many trials that people faced when they done the right thing, and there's trials and tribulations and hardships that would come along and try and discourage them. And you see here with Lydia, this has just happened, and Paul's there, and he's doing what he's doing. And you understand this damsel here is possessed with a spirit of divination that met them and brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. You think about that. Somebody that's bringing somebody a lot of money by doing something just to please people and to soothe them, that's a cash cow, so to speak. You see, this was something they didn't want to see, that this woman with this evil spirit and been taken up with this and these ungodly deeds. They didn't want to see her lose this because this was their way of income. And this man of God is preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified. And there's something that had changed there within some families there. And this woman's over here and saying, hey, this is who it is. And it's bothered him and it's afflicting him and it's troubling him. Hadn't you ever been around somebody that would say, Jesus, Jesus, or Christ, or a Lord, or act like a child of grace, but for some reason they're in the middle of some things that you know is contrary to a child of grace. And it would trouble you. There'd be something that's troublesome about it. And you feel that evil spirit. I want you to think about that. That Apostle Paul is feeling it this way right now. And he's feeling this. And he says here, And he cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God. Well, she says this, which shew unto us the way of salvation. And you think, what's wrong with that? Well, you know, Satan will come in sheep's clothing, you know. And Satan will put on sheep's clothing to deceive the very elect. And will tell them what they want to hear just so that they can get through what they want to do, you see. She's a soothsayer. Think of that. Now, and this day she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they called Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrate rent off their clothes, and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Think about this. Here he is. He's done something good, wouldn't you say? We don't have that power anymore as a gospel minister, a elder teacher, as the apostles did. They had something that we don't have. We don't have apostles anymore. But this apostle here commands the evil spirit to come up out of her. And the Lord had blessed there in that time. And I want you to think about what had happened there, that the man of God doing God's work there is falsely accused and then thrown into prison. How often have we gotten in today's world being faithful unto the gospel, being faithful unto God, but the world hates and despises the things of God? Why? Because the world isn't a friend of God? Because the world hates God? And you say, is there a Christian world? Well, I'm not talking about the elect world. I'm talking the natural world. The worldly world, you understand. You see, they hate God and despise the things of God and don't want anything to do with it because it condemns them and it rebukes them. The Word of God rebukes them. And that's why today we have so many different perversions going on within Scripture today, so that people could feel good about what it is that they're reading, my dear friends. You understand that? It's not about, hey, let's better understand this. If you really did your homework, you'd find out they're twisting and manipulating the Word of God that they might be able to get away with what they want to get away with. And these perversion strips, now you can't really do it, but in reading it, strips our God of His glory. And what is due him. You understand? Now they've thrown into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Verse 24, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that, listen to this, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's hands were loosed. What an awesome God that we serve. You understand that? Even though that they were thrown into the prison, even though that they had been locked up, even though that they had their hands locked there, and those fetters, and their feet bound, my dear friends, my God's able to deliver them from a jail and a prison made of this world. Even though that we get into a deep down depression sometimes when we're going about in this life, because the world hates the things of God and will try and make you feel horrible because you're serving the Lord thy God. My dear friends, churches and make you feel like, hey, what am I going down to the old Baptist church that only has a handful of people in it? When I could go over here to this big, ginormous building with thousands of people inside of it. My dear friends, let me tell you the truth rings strong. The remnant is spoken of for a reason within Scripture. God has a remnant of a greater lot. That's what's so beautiful about that, my dear friends. When you look at the children of Israel being 12, there was a remnant there that had the church of the Old Testament there. There among the Benjamites, you understand that? One out of 12 had that church. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Isn't that a beautiful picture? That God has blessed a very small portion to be able to understand the gospel truths. He doesn't have to bless you all with it. He doesn't have to bless me with it. What we deserve is hell. But by God's grace, isn't that awesome? But by the grace of God and the grace of God alone, He's blessed us with a heavenly home. Not only that, by His grace, we're able to live by that grace and in that grace in this life. That's right. And through His providential hand, He's able to care for us, not predestinating everything. The only thing predestinated is our eternal salvation. He had to get us from point A to point B to be conformed to the image of His Son. But as far as in this life, in our walk, my dear friends, He provides for us providentially and cares for us, and His mercy endureth forever. I want you to think about this. Earlier today, I spoke on Psalms 107. If you go through that, you see a constant repetition of praise unto God, them falling away, them coming to a point where they're dropped to their knees and they're crying out for God's help and pleading unto God. And God delivers them in the time of need. And then when God is expecting to hear glory and praise unto Him, oh, they fall short. And this happens 4 or 5 times throughout the chapter. What did Apostle Paul do there in prison? I want you to think about this. You think he said at that midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. My dear friends, when you're going through the trials of this life and the hardships of this life, and you're being afflicted, whether it be afflictions through the old flesh with the people of the world, or maybe you might be a child of grace acting on the old flesh and nature that they've got, and you're being afflicted and you're going through trials, my dear friends, are you praising God for those times and that you're able to go through it and count it all joy because God has blessed you to be able to go through it in your life? You see what I'm saying? It's not easy to do. I can't even imagine. If you were falsely accused of something, you had been faithfully serving the Lord, and they threw you in prison. Think about that. They threw you in prison. You didn't do a thing. Falsely accused. Imagine just how hard that would be to swallow. And at midnight, right after, they didn't sit in there for a month and then muster up the energy to start singing hymns. At midnight, they start singing praises. That's awesome. That's breathtaking. Because I don't know if I could do it, could you? I hope I would. But I hope and pray none of us in this room sees that. We shouldn't want that. I don't wish any harm on anybody. But think about that. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed, and the keeper of the prison awaking out of his sleep, And seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself. It was a serious thing that these men were loose. He's like, it's better if I kill myself than face what I've got to face. That's serious. Supposing that the prisoners had been fled, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Now, you talk about honesty. You know, that's doggone honesty right there. And integrity. That's some sure integrity. "For we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out, said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He's not talking about eternal salvation, my dear friends. The fact he's asking the question is the fact that God's already done a work inside of him, and he understood what had happened just right then and there. He understood that God Almighty had shook the foundations of that prison and shook it wide open and loosed the men of God there that had been falsely accused. Do you understand that? What an awesome God we serve that is able to do a work inside somebody. The preaching of the gospel had not been preached unto him. He didn't get down to the front of the altar asking God into his heart. God had already done that work. He said, "What should I do to be saved?" Saved from what? Saved from this timely trouble that we are in right now. Save yourself from this wicked and untoward generation. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. He took them back home. It didn't say, "Hey, come on, we're going down for baptism right now." No, he took them home and he taught them and expounded upon the word of God. It doesn't even say how long they were there. If you knew Paul and studied his writings and what he wrote down and where he traveled, there'd be times that he'd be there for weeks, months, years. There's no telling. It doesn't say that. "And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And was baptized, he and all his straightway." Well, you say, that night, have you ever had whip marks or somebody with cuts? It's constantly got to be cared for. I'm sure he cared for them the second that he got them out and took them home. Because they had to be covered in blood. You think about that. Had to be covered in blood. "And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed." Forgive me. I turned one page too many. Verse 35. "And when it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeants, saying, 'Let those men go.' And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, 'The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now, therefore, depart and go in peace.'" Think about this. God has delivered them and has cared for them and has taken care of things for them, and the Lord has provided. What if the man there, the keeper of the prison, had not done as he ought to have and walked by faith? What do you think could have happened? The Lord could have still delivered them, but would he be being blessed as he was blessed? The Lord blessed him for doing the right thing, isn't it? Isn't that awesome? We've been delivered for so much. And the keeper of the prison told us, saying to Paul, the magistrates have sent to let you go, and now therefore depart and go in peace. But Paul said unto them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. Now do they thrust us out privately? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out. And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. Isn't that amazing how God's able to work that out? By His providence, God's able to work that out. And they're thinking, what have we done here now? You know, but God provided. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and what departed. We started with Lydia and we ended with Lydia.
That's right.
Boy, there was a whole lot in between. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine what Lydia could have thought, like any one of us, after we've been baptized and followed in truth, after seeing all that? Well, this is a lot of drama. This is a lot of discouragement. Why do I want to continue? But brothers and sisters, they go right there into Lydia's house, and they comfort one another as brothers and sisters. May God help us stand in the truth of salvation by grace and be comforted by the message of grace, and let us walk therein as these brethren did, and be thankful and look unto our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for your time and your kind, sweet attention.